Welcome to Investor Resources with your hosts, Don Creech and Perry Sykes, who both realize that the market doesn't know what keeps you up at night. It doesn't know when you want to retire, and it doesn't know how old you are. The simple truth is, the market doesn't care. But if you care, then you've tuned in at the perfect time. You're listening to Investor Resources, bringing clarity to the confusing world of finance. Here are your hosts of Investor Resources, Don Creech and Perry Sykes.
Well, good morning. This is Don Creech.
And this is Perry Sykes. Welcome to the show, everyone.
Peeking outside, it is a bright, bright, sunshiny day.
Yeah, it's nice out there.
Yeah, well, it's sure beats a snow day.
And we must be getting ready to fall back because it's too bright in the morning. You know, you get out, you leave the house now, and it's actually almost daylight out there. It's like, nah, not for long. We'll fix that in a minute.
Yeah. Anyway, for those of you who are new to the show, this is the Investor Resources live radio program, which means this is not a recording. You can actually call in and talk to us. The magic number is 888-312-5757, 888-312-5757. So you have questions about your portfolio, you're worried about the market, you wonder whether or not the suggested recommendation that you receive from your financial advisor is in your best interest or his or hers, give us a call. We'll take a shot at it and see if we can figure out whether it looks like it is suitable for the current market. One of the things that happens in the market is change, and more change.
Constant change, and the amount of change seems to be getting more intense. Things change a lot, and they change very, very quickly.
And one of the things that does not change is modern portfolio theory. It was theoretically, because it's all academic, was created in 1952. I think the year before Studebaker went bankrupt. For those of you who are millennials, you probably don't know what a Studebaker is.
Right.
But look it up. You can Google it, and you'll find some pictures of some really funky cars. But let's talk. We mention modern portfolio theory almost every show because we think it is hugely flawed. However, it is used by the majority of financial advisors, mostly because it is a diktat from their firm. Mm-hmm. Very few financial advisors work independently and do not have a brokerage firm telling them what they are allowed to sell and how their portfolios must be structured. But that is what happens somewhere around 85 to 95% of the time. And it's certainly 100% of the time if you are using a really well-known are not so well-known website to build your portfolio. And why is it important to understand this? That's because if you had not heard the news lately, interest rates are rising. They have the 10-year treasury is the benchmark. It is the standard. If you are going to do an analysis of a stock for fair valuation, because you dig through all the footnotes like Charlie Munger and Warren Buffett do, you're a value guy or gal, and that interest rate's key because that's part of the formula for figuring out whether it's priced right or not. Well, interest rates have, on the 10-year, have doubled since August. Well, you'd say, what's bad about higher interest rates? Maybe the banks will start paying me something.
Sooner or later, but
yeah, don't count on
not
it.
Not yet, yeah.
not anytime soon. But what happens when interest rates rise, and the rate now, I think this last week was actually slightly higher than the dividend on the S&P 500.
That hasn't happened in a while, yeah.
Whoops. There's a problem for people who are looking for income. I can get a 10-year U.S. government guaranteed treasury. Just don't read their balance sheet. You won't like it.
You won't feel anywhere near as comfortable about the guarantee when you find out, oh, my goodness, they're pretty well bankrupt. So,
theoretically, you shouldn't have the volatility associated with stock market up and down, up and down, up and down. Which way is it going? And you don't know if the dividend's going to be maintained or not. And here the government guarantees the semi-annual payments for a full 10 years. And as long as you don't look at bond prices for 10 years, you'll get your money back along with the interest. But bond prices have been more volatile than stock prices for a long time, actually. But so what happens with rising interest rates? People start abandoning growth stocks. What are growth stocks? Well, they're concentrated in technology. So what we've seen this past week or so has been technology has been under pressure, more sellers than buyers, as interest rates continue to rise. Then what do they do with the money? If they don't like bonds, well, they rotate into value stocks, ones that are cheaper, ones whose balance sheet and profitability is less likely to be damaged by high interest rates, probably don't have as much debt. They're more conservatively run. And that attracts money. When you take a look at some of the volatility in here, Tesla, that's the darling of Wall Street, right? It is, as long as you don't mind 20 plus drop in value over the couple of days. And if interest rates continue to rise, some analysts think that Tesla stock is headed to $500. Yeah, that's a big drop.
It is a big drop, and it's hard to see what's coming, of course. But anything like Tesla, that's a just a major momentum stock, and the valuations have gotten way ahead of where the company actually is. Those are the places where they get hit the hardest when things like interest rate increases start creeping up. And, you know, we're in that environment exists right now. That rotation is underway right now. We don't know how long that's going to last, but you know, Apple and Amazon, Facebook, Tesla, they're all negative year to date. That hasn't happened in a long time, that they've been negative for a week, let alone for a couple of months. And that's where we are right now. And that's because people are moving their money around. Things are changing out there in the market. Who's attracting the cash? And only time will tell whether that follows through and continues or it reverses back.
So when I was looking at all the show prep here, what came to mind was back in junior high, we all had to have dance class. That was part of some sort of PE schedule. I mean, you did lots of things in junior high they don't have you do anymore. But remember square dance lessons,
sure.
Change partners and do-si-do. Well, that is exactly what's going on in the market. And one of the ways we watch that is we have several watch lists. One of them is a sector watch list. One of them we call our macro. That's the one, if you've been on our webinars, you've seen this, because we say, here's where the market is currently structured for investor interest. And if investors aren't interested, the money disappears and prices fall. But when cash is rising, then risk is also rising. And we've seen some significant shifts. I mean, I looked up where we were last month. And last month, we had commodities and small cap and emerging markets at the top of the list. They were the previous month's winners. This month, even though emerging markets have been profitable this month, they are now below cash. Well, that's a problem. That's a big shift. However, if you have a modern portfolio structure in your account, which means you've got bonds and you've got stocks and you've got some emerging and some developed foreign markets and stuff, it's no big deal. You just go back to sleep, because whatever's losing money this month or this year, sooner or later, is bound to rescue you when everything else is falling.
And the sooner or later that's the problem. We have no idea how long, say growth starts to get a little long in the tooth and people are buying value. How long does that switch last? We don't know. Is it a week? Is it a month? 6 months? 2 years? You don't know. But it doesn't matter if you have the pie chart. The pie chart says, oh, well, I'm working on 80-year averages, so it doesn't matter what happens in the market. Your allocation is going to stay the same. So if part of your portfolio is losing money hand over fist, it's just going to. And that's the way it's supposed to work. And you're supposed to be happy about that. And we don't understand why, which is why we abandon that process. We don't use that pie chart anymore, because we just have basic rules that say, hey, if it's returning less than cash, why not at least own the cash and not keep taking the losses if you can just see them occurring? You can just watch the money walk away. You don't have to stay there, but you will if you're in a pie chart portfolio.
And balanced portfolios where most people end up. And so you own a little bit of all 11 sectors. And over time, you got lots of time. Yeah, who cares how long time will be? And because we use 80, 90 years of data to get to this point of being able to give you absolute guidance of the volatility of your portfolio based on your feelings and our long, long-term history. However, let's look at today. What we had last month were commodities were at the top of the list. We use GSG. It's an ETF. It tracks commodities. It's not anything we buy. It's got tax issues associated with it. Nobody likes the K-1s showing up. Mm-hmm. We don't buy it. We use it as an indicator. It's an indicator of inflation. Inflation is occurring mostly in food and feedstocks. Now, what are feedstocks? Well, that's your feed corn and the soybeans, whatever they're feeding, chickens, pigs, and beef cattle. I mean, they're all taking some sort of feed that has to be grown. Those prices are rising around the world. Some of this is going to show up in the grocery store and already is. What's next? Small cap stocks. Well, small caps can be either growth or value. But what has really shifted here is that commodity price is really an indicator of inflation. And this past couple of months, investors in the bond market are saying, well, maybe the economy is going to get a whole lot stronger. And look at what they just are about to pass in Congress. And they're going to pump tons of money into the system. And what do we get when they pump tons of money? Well, we're supposed to get inflation. Now, it hasn't occurred for the last 10, 11 years, as much as government and the Federal Reserve has tried.
And they've poured the money on. They're actually looking for more inflation, and they can't get it right now because they can't force us to go out and spend our money and chase those consumer products. And that's what has to happen for inflation to increase. You can't just increase the money supply. The money's got to get into the economy, so people have to go buying, and that's just not happening. And they don't have a lot of tools to make that happen. And they understand that, but they don't like it. Let's see. We are right up against a break here, Don. We got to go ahead and take a break. Get out of here. We'd like to remind everyone that we do have our next market update webinar is on the schedule for March 6th. That is next weekend. It's at 9:15, right after the show, and you can register for that by going to iriradio.com. That is iriradio.com. Go to the webinar page and give the registration link a click. You'll get a link back in your email. And next week at 9:15, you can click that link and you'll be live on the online with us. And you're going to be able to see what we're looking at. We show you the charts. We show you the macro chart Don was just talking about. We show you those lists. Let you know where the market's doing. We do a little education, and then we always have plenty of time for your questions. We want to have a good place for you to get your questions answered about the market in general, the economy of the country, or individual securities that you have in your portfolio or that you're thinking about, and you want a little second opinion on those. It's a great time to get that done. So go ahead and register, iriradio.com. If you have questions for us this morning, give us a call, 888-312-5757. That is 888-312-5757. Stay with us. We will be right back.
Detour, there's a muddy road ahead. Detour, paid no mind to what it said. Detour, all these bitter things I find.
If interest rates continue to rise, then there will be a detour ahead in the market. It shows the early signs of that this past week. Even though we saw some buying days, the highs were lower, lows are lower, and that's not a good sign. But we have a question about modern portfolio theory from John in Puyallup. John, glad to have you on the show. What is your concern? There are plenty of things to be concerned about with modern portfolio theory. What is yours, sir? John, are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
There we go.
You're on the air.
So my question is, you say that modern portfolio theory is a bad idea. Like, how do you know when to pull your money out? It sounds to me like it's you're trying to say that, like, you have the formula to time the market. You know, I've never seen anyone do that without, you know, with any kind of long-term success. Maybe I'm not understanding what you guys' strategy is.
We do not time the market. But your implication is common about a trend following process. You want to expand on that, Perry?
Sure. It's like we always say, we do not time the market. We never, if you're timing the market, you have to be willing to make a bet. That's you make a market call. We're at the top of this market. Let's sell everything. We think we're at the bottom. Let's buy a bunch. Or we think small cap's going to be big next quarter. Let's go buy a bunch of small cap. We don't do that. We're trend followers. We follow the market. We follow the money in the market. So when we're getting in or we're getting out, it's always the same thing. It's market-driven data that primarily in the change of prices between different investments and between different asset classes. And when you watch the price changes, you can just follow the money. And when everybody's leaving a sector, you want to leave too. You don't want to be the last person holding the bag somewhere where asset prices are all dropping. So instead of having to predict what we think is going to happen, we follow what is going on. And so we're always in tune with what's going on in the market as close as we can, but we're always a little behind. We're always following. So if the market takes off, the market's always going to make a big move up before we buy in, and then we're going to own it until it starts to go down, and then we're going to sell it. So we never call a market top. We never say this is the bottom. This, you know, we sold everything right at the right time. We're going to be as close to that as we can, but we never make a prediction. And that's what market timing is. And we do not do that because you are correct. No one's ever done that successfully and they can't. No one knows the future. So if you're trying to time the market, you're going to be a loser. It's just that we found that modern portfolio theory and that pie chart with 80 years of average returns built into it, if you're waiting for that to work for you, you better have those 80 years. It may take that long. If there's 80 years of data stuck in that pie chart, it may take 80 years for that to work for you. So we don't think that's a good idea. It never is in tune with the market. It's always, based on what has happened in the past. And things change so fast now, it really doesn't matter what's happened in the past. It's what's going on right now that needs to be reflected in your portfolio.
And we're no longer in an agrarian or highly industrial economy. I mean, there are countries around the world that are working their way up out of those stages. But what is really... what we're tracking is partly is price, but it's the change in price. What are the returns over, in our case, we use 21 market days as our benchmark. Are these things improving in your portfolio or are they a detriment to the portfolio? And it's broken down in a sequence. It's called process. And we really clearly, I walked through that process month by month for last year in our January webinar. And then last month, and Perry walked through the trade decisions that were made at the end of the month when the market looked like it could easily drop. So both of those, we explain what we do, which is not forecasting, which is generally the assumption of market timing, guessing that this turning point has occurred. That result is a guess. And we don't know. What we do know is what the change has been. And in the market, the trend is your friend. You will never always be right. The question is, what do you do when you're wrong? And we like to quote John Maynard Keynes, who said, "When the facts change, I change my mind. What do you do, sir?" End of quote. So when conditions change, we change. We don't assume that just because technology is a leader today, it will always be a leader. Now, tech as a broad sector may be consistently strong, intermittently weak, but the leaders that people identify today have been leaders for 20 years, and that's typically the end of their real growth cycle. They get so big, they can't continue to make huge technology innovations and implementation with product in the market, so the profits have a tendency to level off. Unless, of course, they can become tyrants. One of the things they do is basically buy up small companies that have great ideas, then they park them in the back closet and tell the guy, we're paying you off, go away, because we don't want you competing with us. And too many young companies are enamored by the huge dollars that come their way without realizing they may be giving up 90% of their potential. Anyway, that is, you're right about market timing, but that's not what we do. If you watch our January and February webinars, you will learn what we do, and you'll see that it is not market timing. It is rotation into strength and out of laggards. Get rid of the laggards in your portfolio instead of hanging on to them. That's a good question. We've got Richard from Lake City. Richard, you're on the air.
Hello there.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning. So my question is, I'm retired. A couple of years ago, I started taking my RMD because I had to. And everything I've got basically is in an IRA. But when I started taking the IRA or the RMD, required minimum distribution, I put it in a separate account outside the IRA just to, you know, see if I can make it, or my planner, my financial planner, can make it grow a little faster, maybe with a little more risk. I don't know. My question is, what I have, it's not very much money yet. I have about $15,000 in this other account, just outside my IRA, and it's in a security, IFACX, Income from Fund of America. And it doesn't seem to be doing it. It's doing 2%, 3%. I'd like to see 20, of course.
Sure.
But, you know, 6 or 8 would be nice, you know. I'm kind of gambling a little bit with this because it's not very much money, but why not? What do you think?
Well, one I'd say is that you're not gambling with Income Fund of America. It is designed to invest in income-generating securities. However, I don't think your financial advisor is doing you any good because he sold you a very expensive form of the fund. The C in there means that he is getting 1% a year Well, he gave you a prospectus, so if you read the prospectus, you know he's getting paid. But it looked to you like a free fund when the expense ratio is extremely high, and that's part of the reason you're not seeing a return that's closer to your objective. But getting a 20% return out of an income fund is highly improbable, except in rare moments of the market. But it's a conservative asset, and he's just... if he's getting a C in here, he's working for a broker-dealer, and American Funds happens to be one of the fund groups that has the highest compensation for brokers. And so I would put your advisor in the broker category. He's not an advisor. You tell him what you want, and he says, here, buy this. So that takes a little more work. Your difficulty here is in terms of getting an actual advisor working for you, whom you must pay. If you're not paying him directly, he's giving you a bill. He can deduct it from the account. But if he's not giving you a bill every quarter and you see how he calculated his fee and you are having it deducted from your account, you have a salesperson, not an advisor. Financial advisor terminology was just simply a marketing change to misidentify a broker whose job is to sell you something, and that's who you are working with.
All right, I understand. I've kind of suspected that all along. I've had these guys for a long time, and we've done okay. You know,
I'm sure they're nice guys, yeah. And over the last 20 years, or the last 10 years anyway, it's been hard to not own just about anything and be okay with the return on it.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Okay. All right. Well, you've answered my question. I'm going to start asking around and ask them questions.
I'd suggest you go to our website and go to the video tab and watch the last two videos and register for next week. I mean, the website is IRI Radio. That's IRIRadio.com. Lower left-hand corner of the website is a registration. And once you're on there, the investment process page gives you a description of what we do. And the video tab, the last two videos, describe in detail. And now it's entertaining detail. I will admit that. It's not going to be boring because the end result is amazing. But I suggest you spend some time watching them, and that will give you a better perspective on how to answer the questions or how to ask the questions that you need to pose. So good luck with that. And if you've got questions, you can give us a call during the week at 800-317-9119, 800-317-9119, and we'd be glad to answer more questions for you.
Great. Thanks for your help.
Thank you.
Good luck to you, Richard. Are we up against a break again?
We are right there. We are at the bottom of the hour. Time to take a quick break here. I'd like to remind everyone, if you're not getting our Week in Review, which is our weekly email newsletter, you can sign up for that by sending us an email to help@iriradio.com. That is help@iriradio.com. We just need your first and last name and put Week in Review in the subject line, and you will begin receiving that this Monday. It goes out most Mondays, and it's a really good look at current events, what's going on out there in the world of finance this week, and things that you need to take notice of and things that you can safely ignore, because there's a lot of that out there, a lot of noise. This will help you get through some of that. If you do have questions for us here this morning, feel free to give us a call at 888-312-5757. That is 888-312-5757. You are listening to Investor Resources here on Talk Radio 570 KVI. Stay with us. We will be right back.
Hey, well, all right, sir, here we go there, and what are you going to give for? I have a $600 down here, now 10, and now 25, and now 35, and now the 50, now 60, will you give me 60, now 75, 75, another $85 on the bond?
Well, the market is an auction market. People just don't think of it that way. It's on the web. It's on the internet. It's just, I just punch buttons on my cell phone here and I can buy stuff. What do you mean it's an auction market? Well, somewhere, if you're buying something, somebody else is having to sell it. And the computer algorithms figure out where the best match is for that. But for every buyer, there's a seller and vice versa. So with regard to John's question a moment ago about modern portfolio theory and timing, one of the things that shows up in the market, for instance, is what has happened recently to the exchange-traded fund that has a ticker of USMV. It's the iShares Minimum Volatility Factor Fund, which has had really consistent performance over quite a few years. However, investors change their mind. They don't just hang on to things when it becomes a laggard. And what has happened is that while this fund has had very good returns, a relatively smooth ride for a buy and hold investor, it's had maybe 40-45% less volatility than the stock market, but that's what minimum volatility is supposed to be. Doesn't matter. Investors have been abandoning it in droves because they want volatility.
In an up market, everybody becomes aggressive. Now all of a sudden, all those conservative investors, they're all aggressive now. We need volatility, because volatility on the upside, that's a lot of fun. It's that downside volatility that you're trying to stay away from. So that's another one of those problems with modern portfolio theory. You as an investor, in bad times, you're going to say you're conservative, and in great times, you're going to say you're very aggressive. And most of the time, those things aren't going to be changing in your portfolio. They're not going to be reflected in the way your portfolio is invested. But that's the way people's mind works.
So you walk into your financial advisor and say, what are we doing on this minimum vol deal? What is that? Well, what do you want? Well, I want more return. Well, we have that too. That's already in your portfolio. Just quit looking at the bad one and just look at the good one. because you own it too. Well, so what, you know, so one cancels out the other, and there you go with a simplified form of modern portfolio theory. Mm-hmm. I own some bad stuff and I own some good stuff, and pretty soon they'll rotate and the bad stuff will become good and the good stuff will become bad. Well, that rotation is something that we watch, and we use something that Marty Zweig thinks should be available in the market. And he apparently is unfamiliar with readily available, inexpensive software that we use, because he thinks that investing would be easier if there was just a set of traffic lights to tell you to when be in and be out. He needs to watch one of our webinars.
We have those traffic lights. We actually use those to give ourselves an indication of when markets are a good time to be out there, and when's a better time to not be in the markets. And that's exactly what we have, red lights and green lights about where the prices are going here. Are we trending up or are we trending down? And that is definitely doable.
So, John, if you're still on the air, I mean, that's part of our process, and it's readily available for watching how it works by going to our website and watching the last two, well, any of our last webinars, but certainly the last two, and then register for the ones coming up on Saturday, right after the show. You want to know what we're going to be covering? We have a three-part program. We talk about market conditions. It's client and prospect education. Then we talk about the market, and then we do Q&A. We want to educate you about how you can function without modern portfolio theory and why that makes sense. And what are the drivers that are forcing the market to go through this change in cycle? Part of that's business, part of it's economic, part of it is political decisions in Congress that are going to spend money that they do not have because they trust us to give it to them in the rest of our lives, which is what it's going to take to pay off the new debt. Well, it's going to take more than that, isn't it, Perry?
It's been working, though. We do tend to give them the money. So they're happy with the current lay of the land. They can spend it, and we'll keep sending it in.
So a lot of people just use guts.
And we've got a caller on, Don. Let's.
Okay.
Yeah, we've got a caller. Ed from Linwood has a question about lithium. Ed, welcome to Investor Resources. You're on the air with Don and Perry.
Well, they understand that they want to build more automobiles with batteries. Don't know where the electricity is going to come from. But my first question before that is, where's enough lithium going to come from for all those automobiles? And I love to think of the size of the package of lithium for a ferry.
Yeah, nobody's figured out how to build a battery that big just yet. But with our current governor, I'm sure he's going to put that high on the Save the Planet agenda of his. Lithium, I think for the most part, comes out of China. China is a country that's very, very large and has massive rare metal resources. We do not generate any. I don't know if we generate any lithium inside the United States, but if we do, it's not nearly enough to float the boat for those who want everything to be an e-vehicle, whether it's a bicycle or an airplane. You know, they have electric air taxis now. They don't fly real far, but they don't have to. They're going from Midtown Manhattan to Reagan National. I mean, that's not a long flight, but they're running on batteries. Lithium is important. It does have some volatility associated with it. We have had it in our portfolios. We do not currently own it because of the recent price drops, but we have made money owning lithium. We would not own it on a permanent basis because that we don't buy anything on a permanent basis. We are in a what have you done for me recently model. And if you're not helping me go forward, then I don't want to have you stuck there anymore. But you're right. The demand for this is going to be very large. And as a result, because it's a rare metal, we would expect over time prices to rise. Efficiency should become greater as more and more companies get into this area, and the battery makers, you end up with Ford and GM and Volvo and Porsche. I mean, Porsche's got an all-electric Porsche now. But they're all going to be working on this, and the more brains working on it, the more resources committed to it, it's going to become more efficient. So that should offset some of the demand, but demand will still grow. So you're right. I just don't think that the ferry battery is going to show up next month.
That's going to be next generation stuff, which is coming, but it's not here yet.
So thanks for your
thanks, Ed.
Yeah, just register for our workshop next Saturday, right after the show. Go to irradio.com. Lower left-hand corner of the website is the webinar page. Well, it's the link. You click on that, a couple of clicks, and your email address, and you will be set to receive an invitation. If you cannot attend next Saturday after the show, you will get a replay link. So when you get frustrated that there's nothing worth watching on TV anymore, you can always replay our informative, educational webinar about what is going on in the market from our perspective. Let's see. We were talking about traffic lights. Should they be in the market? And of course, we think they are. They're very very easy to visually, very easily to see the change that's going on in the market. Which is back to John's question. With MPT, you don't worry about changes in the market because you own a little bit of everything. And the theory is, I mean, I'm going to own the right stuff at the right time. Unless, of course, you're in a bear market the last 2 or 3 years, or it takes you 11, 12, 13 years to get even because you're sitting around on your hands waiting for recovery. And that's what happened after the tech bubble in 2000. 2001 began basically a 90% decline between then and March of 2003. So almost a 2.5 year collapse in tech stocks. And you modern portfolios, you just hang on. You forget about those who went bankrupt. I mean, you already lost the money. The survivors, they're bound to get you whole. And they did. It took about 15 years. But MPT, it doesn't matter. Because you're in there for the long haul. Unless, of course, you have to retire in the meantime and need some money.
That's always a problem, that people want to spend that money that they saved up. And with MPT, the only real safety is time. They just tell you, just wait as long as it takes. And that's what's going to, that's the safety factor. Just time. Just wait. And that's not reasonable for anyone, let alone somebody who's already in retirement. And speaking of time, we are up against our final break of the morning here. We have plenty of time left. We have a whole segment left to get your question on the board. If you'd like to give us a call at 888-312-5757, that is 888-312-5757. And make sure to get yourself registered for next weekend's market update. That's Saturday, March 6th, 9:15 after the show here. We will be live online to let you know what is going on out there on the markets today. And we will always have plenty of time to get your questions answered. We pretty much stay as long as people have questions, so we run through them all, and that's great questions always coming in. The people that attend the webinar are a sharp group, and we get a lot of good questions, keeps us on our toes, and makes it interesting for everyone. You can register for that at iriradio.com. Go to iriradio.com, click on the webinar page, and click the registration link, and you'll be good to go for next weekend. And again, if you have a question for us this morning, 888-312-5757. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count.
Boy, I should have given Mike a last minute change and played that bump right after we got the call from John about modern portfolio theory.
Right, right.
You got to know when to hold them and know when to fold them. And modern portfolio theory doesn't give a squat either way. It's just like, how do you view yourself as an investor? And they ask you a whole bunch of questions, and they end up saying, well, based on your answers, I think you should have a conservative balanced account that would be suitable for you. But does the market know that that's who you are? And is it going to therefore behave in a way that's consistent with your expectations? what happens in that situation is the more conservative you are, the more they load up on bonds. Basically, you control risk in a standard portfolio by not putting money in the stock market. That does control risk. No money in the market, no risk. But you put money in bonds, which when interest rates rise, as we remind you consistently in our webinars, when interest rates rise, bond values fall. So the more conservative you are, the more bonds they're going to give you, which means you believe interest rates will fall over the next 30 years another 90%, because that's the assumption that's generating the calculation to put bonds in your portfolio. Now, we always ask, do you believe interest rates will fall another 90% basically for the rest of your lifetime for most of our clients, because they're pre or in retirement? And that, you know, that's a long time. Do you believe interest rates will fall another 90% over the next 30 years? If your answer is no, then we ask, why do you have this much money in bonds?
And that's a question that does not get asked in modern portfolio theory. They never ask, what are we looking at here? What are the returns right now? They look at what have the returns have been. What have they been in bonds in particular? The past 30 years is what's driving, what is what drove those bond returns was the declining interest rate. And that's not going to happen again. We don't have rates at 18% that can drop 90%. You know, we're barely above one, and it's not, they're not going to have that huge drop. Therefore, we're not going to have the big returns, which is why in the financial press, we see large bond managers that manage billions of dollars of bonds saying, hey, if you want some return in the market, you might want to look somewhere else besides bonds for that part of your portfolio, because we can't even find any return out there right now. And that's an amazing admission by bond managers.
It certainly is. And lower interest rates have benefited a different part of the market, and that's real estate. Refinancing, and if you have a mortgage and you haven't refinanced in the last year or two, you want to cut your payment down and save money, which is having a lower interest expense, then you should examine getting a refi done fairly quickly. These rates continue to rise. They're already impacting mortgage rates. Mortgage rates are starting to rise as a result of the last month or so in the treasury market. But that has, what's also happened is that house prices have been rising. Zillow has a very positive outlook for home prices over the next year. They raised their January estimate from 10.4 to 10.9. I happen to look up my house on Zillow just as a matter of curiosity.
Sure.
And they have it up 20% from the last, from last year.
That's a big move. Yep.
And they've got comps that we don't usually see. And they've got people have actually sold their houses for prices that we have not seen in our area.
It's like we tell people all the time, every market is driven by the same things, and that is supply and demand. We have a huge demand right now, especially in the Northwest, for real estate, and supply is just not there. We don't have enough houses. So if you happen to have one, it's an asset that is increasing rapidly in value, and if you sell it, the problem, of course, is finding somewhere else to live, because
right.
Now you're going to have to go pay the high price. So it's tough.
Zillow is changing their business model a little bit. If you want to list your house, they can make that happen. Not only that, they are, in some places, they are actually making cash offers.
You bet.
They will buy it for cash. They come in. They actually are going to physically inspect it, but they'll buy it for their valuation. And then they'll come in, do some minor fix up, and then resell it. That's their plan. And that's working particularly in the areas where I'd say smaller cities, because I don't think they're doing that in downtown Seattle.
Not right now. No,
they're certainly not doing it in San Francisco, LA, or New York, because there's an exodus there. What is it when it's the reverse of an exodus? I don't know what it is. There must be a word for it. But in the small cities and smaller towns, there is an influx. There we go. An influx of people who want to live there, get out of high tax cities into lower tax states, get out of high crime cities into places where they think policemen are good. where they don't like drugs on the street and they have safe parks. Well, that has increased demand for housing in these small towns, and rents are falling in the big cities. And I know we had a chart here on what happens in Seattle. Rents are down in Seattle, but some analysts believe that the exodus is not over and prices will continue to fall.
Sure. I mean, here, yeah, in Seattle, rents are down about 21% year over year in Seattle, but they're up 10% over in Spokane. So that's one of those. That's the transition that's going on. They're leaving Seattle and they're moving to Spokane. And Spokane's not exactly a small city, but it's very, very different from Seattle. And people are heading east right now, and they're getting out of the city of Seattle. And that's a trend that has been happening nationwide.
See, if we applied modern portfolio theory to the real estate market and you're in Seattle and prices are down, conditions are different, you'd say, you should never sell.
Doesn't matter. Yeah.
Because sooner or later, they will solve the crime problem. Sooner or later, they will solve the drug problem. Sooner or later, they'll clean up the streets in San Francisco, and you won't need a poop map app in order to know where to walk cleanly. I mean, these things will change. They just take time. And so in the stock market, things will change, and when they aren't working your way, you just sit back and say, but they'll solve themselves. We just don't believe that's an efficient way to deal with money, particularly when you're in retirement. You want to preserve your capital. It's more important not to lose money than it is to beat the market.
You spent entire life building up a retirement portfolio. You don't want to give it away because the market goes through one of its downturns, and it's going to drop 30 or 40%. You don't have another 50 years to build that portfolio up, and you can't just watch that capital walk away. You need to protect that, and that is what we endeavor to do.
So one of the things that I'm sure you know is changing, and that is that Congress is about ready to authorize another $1.9 trillion of spending money you and I have not earned yet.
It's moving through. Yep, it's moving through Congress.
The only thing that's probably a benefit so far is that in the Senate, the Senate has determined that they cannot put the $15 minimum federal wage hike in the bill. So clearly there are some Democrats that are quite disappointed. However, there are a lot of states where that would just kill their entire economy statewide. I mean, we've got 350. Also, this is a COVID response, COVID relief bill.
Right.
So basically, $350 billion of it is set aside for cities and states which have behaved irresponsibly and cannot pay off their bills or their pension plan. They don't know how to stay alive financially. And so, well, we happen to be one of those states, I guess, is going to get some money.
Time for a national handout. Yeah, national handout. Yeah.
Anyway, this largesse is really being saved by, is being financed by savers. As long as the Fed continues to hold interest rates down, the people who save money, who live their life responsibly, are the ones who are going to be punished in this process. Now, if you have money in the market, as the Fed continues to pump money and Congress gives part of it away, and there's out of this $1.9 trillion, there's only about 5% of it that's actually going to come directly to taxpayers. The rest of it is a big giveaway to pet projects and to foreign countries, which I don't see how that's going to solve.
How is that on the list? Yeah. And again, that's $2 trillion. It's an astounding amount of money.
So when that one's done, they have another $2 trillion that they have already working on.
Teeing up again. You betcha.
And that one is for infrastructure. I remember when President Obama did an infrastructure bill, and you know, never seemed to build anything.
Nothing was quite as shovel ready, as they said.
Yeah, some of this, in fact, he admitted it later on, some of this money in this new bill doesn't even get spent until 2028 to get our kids back in school. You know, this is a lot of hypocrisy. Watch our webinar coming up next Saturday. register at IRIRadio.com. That's IRIRadio.com. Lower left-hand corner is the link to registration. A couple of clicks, your email, and you will be set for participation or replay. Lord willing, we will be back next week. Have a great day and a great week. Stay safe.